My name is Stephanie Creed. I've been an artist at Workman Arts for about 5 years, give or take. I'm going to be showing a piece at Being Seen that is called Chemicals in Inner Cities. This piece is part of a series I did in 2011 about my ongoing struggles with addiction and my road to recovery. I'm really glad to say that in the years since I did this series, I've still got quite a long ways to go, but my life has, I'm looking at it from a very different perspective than when I first did it. It's not something that's over. You never really can say something like that's over, but where I've moved from then, it's really looking back on this piece as opposed to being right in the space I was when I did this. This particular piece, like I said, was part of a series. It was called What's a Smart Girl Like Me Doing in Places Like These? And it was about just sort of the expectations of what the kind of person I'd be growing up and how I never really expected to, or anyone expected me to be the type of person who have substance abuse issues. And it wound me up in a lot of trouble, and I kind of went up and down, and I lost a lot of great things in my life. And now, looking back from when everything kind of fell apart, which was a few years before I did this series, to looking at my life now, which is a few years after, there's really a huge, there's been a lot of really great changes. So looking at this piece now is it's still very vivid to me. But it is more of it's a lot more looking back than being right in it. The chemicals and inner cities is a reference both to like one's inner self as well as living in a big metropolis. There are images of the city of Toronto juxtaposed with chemical formulas, excerpts from little novels I read that I cut the sentences out and built them into the structure. So I work in primarily mixed media, which means I work primarily with acrylic paint and collage. A lot of things glued to the canvas, particularly paper things. So a big part of my process is looking through magazines, collecting images and thoughts that appeal to me. I've started with this series doing a lot of the acrylic work first, and then sort of shifting through the words that I've selected or the pieces I've selected and find out which ones will work. And a lot of that is just sorting through, you know, about, I'd say, 60% of the things I cut out never get used. One of the pieces I did just had a long series of individual words cut out, and I probably used about 75% of the ones that I cut out, but it was all in the theme of addiction and recovery and the ups and downs of that cycle.
Mm-hmm. Do you find you return to similar themes in your work over the years?
I think the very last piece I did for that series was kind of... The point of it was kind of, this is really the last piece I feel I need to do. I think while the subject is still relevant to my life, I think I've kind of said all I want to say about that. Unless something changes drastically, I think I've said what I felt like saying in a series of 12 pieces of varying sizes. But I think I've kind of exhausted my creativity on that. And my next... my plan for my next series is to look at ideas of, in quotations, modern and romance, and how the kind of person, you know, I never thought I'd be the kind of person to get married, and I never thought that, you know, traditional relationships were this and that, and different ideas of how people approach romance in the 21st century, and... how it doesn't have to be traditional, and a relationship can be important even if it's a short one. Just because a relationship ends doesn't mean it wasn't good at the time or useful at the time, or and you know, in this age, how people meet people in such different ways, and how attitudes towards relationships are always evolving. So that's kind of what I want to work on next, is something that a more positive attitude, but still with a lot of questioning.
Mm-hmm. If I were to put you on the spot and ask you if there was one thing that you were most trying to communicate through your art, could you share with us what that is?
I guess it would be that it's more common than you think, and it can happen to anyone. It doesn't really discriminate against wealthy or poor, or your gender, or your background. Like, I was, you know, a straight-A student, and with all kinds of promise, and music lessons and art lessons and dance classes, and was really, had a very good childhood. So I'm not the kind of person that you would expect. What I want to, I guess, communicate is that substance abuse problems, I don't even want to say addiction, but people struggling with moderating or controlling the amount of substances, and it can be a prescription medication that you're taking legitimately, or it could be a street drug, but someone that you care about is going through this, and it might be totally secretly. It's way more common than people think to have difficulty moderating things, or going on a slippery slope when, you know, like for in my case, I started drinking mostly because I couldn't sleep, and it was really, it wasn't going out partying, it was, I did my share of that in college, but it was really like, oh, if I have a shot before I go to sleep, I fell asleep so much better. And then it just really went downhill, like where it was two shots and three, and then a couple during the day and in the morning, and it was affecting my performance at the job I had, and my, it was really damaging my relationship at the time. So the same thing if someone's got, you know, a back injury from a car accident or something, you can be put on legitimate painkillers, and it becomes, you know, you're going through your prescription in a few days, a month in a few days, and, you know, you can turn to buying it from friends or on the street. It really, it can happen to anyone for very innocuous reasons. And someone you know is going through this.